The Piano Tuner by Daniel Mason, a Random House audiobook. In the fleeting seconds of final memory, the image that will become Burma is the sun and a woman's parasol. He has wondered which visions would remain. The Salween's coursing coffee flow after a storm, the pre-dawn palisades of fishing nets, the glow of ground turmeric, the weep of jungle vines. For months the images trembled in the back of his eyes, at times flaming and fading away like candles, at times fighting to be seen, thrust forward like the goods of jostling bazaar merchants, or at times simply passing, blurred freight wagons in a travelling circus, each one a story that challenged credibility, not for any fault of plot, but because nature could not permit such a condensation of colour without theft and vacuum in the remaining parts of the world. Yet above these visions, the sun rises searing, pouring over them like a gleaming white paint. The Bedouin sire, who interpret dreams in shaded, scented corners of the markets, told him a tale that the sun that rose in Burma was different from the sun that rose in the rest of the world. He only needed to look at the sky to know this, to see how it washed the roads, filling the cracks and shadows, destroying perspective and texture. To see how it burned, flickered, flamed, the edge of the horizon like a daguerreotype on fire, overexposed and edges curling. How it turned liquid the sky, the banyan trees, the thick air, his breath, throat and his blood. How the mirages invaded from distant roads to twist his hands, how his skin peeled and cracked. Now the sun hangs above a dry road. Beneath it, a lone woman walks under a parasol, her thin cotton dress trembling in the breeze, her bare feet carrying her away toward the edge of perception. He watches her, how she approaches the sun, alone. He thinks of calling out to her, but he cannot speak. The woman walks into a mirage, into the ghost reflection of light and water that the Burmese call Thanlat. Around her, the air wavers, splitting her body, separating, spinning. And then she too disappears. Now, only the sun and the parasol remain. War Office, London, October 24, 1886. Dear Mr. Drake, I have been informed by our staff that you have received our office's request for service in the name of Her Majesty, but have not yet been notified as to the nature of your mission. This letter serves to explain the specifics and urgency of a most serious matter, and requests that you report to the War Office, where you will be further briefed by Colonel Killian, Director of Operations for the Burma Division, as well as myself. A brief history of this matter. As you are most likely aware, since our occupation of the coastal states of Burma 60 years ago, through the recent annexation of Mandalay and Upper Burma, Her Majesty has seen the occupation and pacification of the territory as central to the security of our empire throughout Asia. Despite our military victories, several developments seriously endanger our Burmese possessions. Recent intelligence reports have confirmed the consolidation of French forces along the Mekong River in Indochina, while within Burma, local insurgents threatens our hold on the remoter regions of the country. In 1869, during the reign of the Burmese King Mindon Min, we stationed in Burma a physician named Surgeon Major Anthony Carroll, a graduate of University College Hospital in London, who in 1874 was appointed to a remote post in the Shan States in the eastern reaches of the colony. Since his arrival, Surgeon Major Carroll has been indispensable to the army. Well beyond his immediate medical duties, he has made remarkable progress in forming alliances with native princes. And, although distant from our command, his site provides critical access to the southern Shan Plateau and rapid deployment of troops to the Siamese border. The detail of Carroll's success are rather unusual, and you will be duly briefed when you report to the War Office. Of concern to the Crown now is a most peculiar note received from the Surgeon Major last month, the latest in a series of somewhat vexing communications regarding his interest in a piano.